Our text for today is taken from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, at my last church in Southern California, I unfortunately had to encounter a lot of lost dogs. For some reason, there's a lot of lost dogs ended up into our property where my house was and where the church was. And, you know, they didn't show up, you know, like 10 o'clock on Monday. That would have been convenient. Almost always the dogs, I found these lost dogs on Sunday morning before church started. Very difficult. Animal control is closed and it's really hard to take care of them because I got to work. I remember one Sunday walking to church and there was this little dog on the front stoop of the church, right by the front door. Now, in all the dogs I encountered who were lost, there were two different groups of dogs. There were dogs that did not know they were lost and dogs that did know they were lost. The ones who didn't know they were lost would be aggressive and bark and run away. They didn't want any help. They weren't lost, according to them. And yet, the second group, you could tell they knew they were lost. This was the dog I encountered at the front door of the church. It had big old sad eyes. It was kind of whining, and it was shaking. And I felt horrible. I'm like, come on, it's Sunday morning. So I brought the dog in. I brought him into my office. I went to the kitchen and got some bologna that was in there and got him a bowl of water, and he ate that and drank that. And then I'm just saying, okay, well, I called animal control. Of course, they weren't open. I left a message for them. And I just said, well, I'm going to have to keep this dog in my office. I hope it's quiet during first service. And I prayed that it was. And I went out to first service. Dog didn't make a peep. Came back in, gave it a little more bologna. Then I kept it in there until my Bible class was over. After that was over, before second service, I went back into the office. And this time I called, instead of animal control, I called a shelter in the area that was a non-kill shelter. And I actually was able to get somebody. And they said, oh, we'd be glad to take the dog, but we can't pick it up until noon. So I'm like, all right. And so I figured, well, he's been quiet up to this point. He'll be quiet for the second service. And he was. And after that second service, then I got some more bologna and fed it to him and a little more water. And I opened my office door so I could see the front door of the church when they came driving up, if, you know, when they were going to. And the dog crawled on my lap, looked at me, and immediately fell asleep, and we waited like that. In other words, that dog knew it was lost. Somehow it knew I was going to help, and I was helping, and so it could truly be at peace. This is one of those texts that is the reason why a lot of pastors use sermon series. They order sermon series, so for one reason, I think, because they get the sermon sent to them. They don't have to write them. But another thing is so they can preach on things they want to preach on and avoid texts like this one. I've seen many sermon series. Not one have I seen it on this text. Because when you look at this text and the one in Matthew that corresponds with it, it's really a horrible kind of story when you look at it. There are a lot of commentaries that try to explain this away. Many commentaries will say, for some reason, say, well, the disciples added this on later. This didn't actually happen. Jesus wouldn't have acted that way. Of course, that doesn't make any sense because why would the disciples put this in? When you read this account and the Matthew account, the disciples look almost as bad as Jesus does. So, but nowadays, you know, with progressive commentaries coming out, the reason Jesus acts like this is unanimous for a lot of these commentators. And that is, well, Jesus is just a racist. He's just a rotten human being. And This woman's courage and her persistence changed Jesus. He saw the darkness of his ways, and he saw the truth and the life because of this woman, and therefore he became a better man, a better person, and he became a better savior. Well, I can't tell you how much is wrong with that statement. That's certainly not the case. It can't be the case. I think the first step in understanding this text is to understand that everything Jesus preached and taught and all the healing that he did was never done in a vacuum. The disciples are always there, always watching, always listening. And as he reaches out to people and touches people's lives in many ways for the three-year ministry that he had with his disciples, as he's doing that, not only is he helping people, but I think a certain part of it, every single time, is wanting to teach the disciples something they need to know. Something they need to know in order to be effective apostles and leaders of the church. After Jesus rose from the dead, scripture says that Jesus at that time opened their minds to the scripture to understand what he had been saying and what he had been doing. And I think one of the primary stories that he opened their minds to was this event. Because they needed to understand this event, what Jesus did and said, in order to carry out their great commission. And that is bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. You see, there was a barrier in the disciples' way of doing this. And that barrier was their attitude towards the Gentiles. Now, of course, this is a lesson for the disciples, but it also is a severe test for this Syrophoenician woman. It's interesting that there is a kind of a parallel to this story in the Old Testament with Elijah. It says there's a huge drought in the entire region, and Elijah at this point goes into the same part of the world, Syrophoenicia, and he meets a woman who is the same nationality as the woman in our gospel. And Elijah basically says to her, you know, what are you doing? And she goes, well, I'm going to cook the last of our food and feed it to my son, and then we're going to die. You know, Patty positive there, right? At least she had a plan. And Elijah tests her. In fact, you could say that the test Elijah gives her is more severe than the one Jesus does. Elijah says, okay, well, you cook the food, but then serve me first. And she does. And a miracle happens. Now, here we have the same type of thing happening and the same type of test. And it's a very severe test for this woman. The test begins with the woman coming to Jesus. And as you can hear in the Matthew account, cries out to Jesus for help and says something really kind of astonishing. She calls Jesus Son of David. Now that's bizarre. How would a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, know that term? When Jesus is traveling in the area of the Jews in Galilee and Judea, rarely do people call him this messianic Jewish title. And yet this woman seems to know this. I don't know. To this day, I have no idea how she was able to know that. Now, the test really begins with her calling out to Jesus, and Jesus ignores her. And the disciples, I think, agree with what they think Jesus is thinking about this woman. In fact, in Matthew, they say, you know, tell her to get out of here because she's human filth. She's not worth anything. And Jesus said, well, I only came to the lost tribe of Israel. At this point, the disciples think, okay, well, Jesus agrees with us that this lady is worthless. We need to get rid of her. And then the second part of the test is Jesus calls her a dog. Now, you can try to make that nice and say, well, he really says puppy. Yeah, okay, it's still not really a compliment. He calls her a dog. Why in the world would he do that? I really don't think he's doing it to be mean, obviously. I think he's doing it because, again, he wants to teach his disciples something. He knows his disciples. He knows their attitude about Gentiles and also women. He knows their attitude, and so basically, by speaking and acting this way with this woman, he's telling the disciples, you hate this woman. You think she's human filth. I want you to see and hear exactly what your attitude is, because it is ugly. And the disciples are in a state of shock. They have never seen Jesus act this way, and they never will again. And then finally, we come to the end of this very severe test, which the lady gets an A+ on, by the way, where she says, okay, Jesus, I'm a dog. And yet even the dogs get the scraps of bread from the table. We need to understand exactly what kind of bread Jesus is talking about here. People just don't throw bread on the floor, right? Even children, as we heard in our text. The bread they used back then was at every meal, was kind of an unleavened bread, about that big, and about the, you know, size and shape of a tortilla. And this is what they would fold up and use as a spoon. And they would also use the pieces of this bread as napkins. They'd wipe their hands on it, they wipe their mouth, and then they throw it on the floor to the dogs. That's what she's asking for. She says, I may be a dog, but at least I get the bread that you determined to be refuse. And what does Jesus say? Great is your faith. In Matthew, he says he hasn't seen any faith like this in Israel. It's amazing. Prior to this, you know, the story is Peter walking on water, by the way, which was not a sign of faith. He shouldn't have been doing that. In fact, for Peter, the only faith that came up finally was when he was sinking and drowning, and he says, Jesus, save me. Now, that's when his faith came forth. So a crisis like this had to bring forth his faith. And Jesus is almost like pointing, you know, Peter to this woman and said, boy, you know, you had to almost drown for your faith to come forth. She's had this incredible faith from the very beginning. You'd be lucky to have faith like hers. In other words, faith is not about who you are. It's about whose you are. And Jesus is basically saying in this story, he's saying, look, this woman knows she's lost, but in me she knows she has been found. And what is the result of that? Her daughter is healed, and the woman is able to go home to her family in peace. We all need to know that we are a lot like that little lost dog that was sitting in front of the church that one Sunday morning in California. We have to understand that we were lost, but we have been found, and we are loved, and we are in peace. And I pray that the Lord would give us clarity of faith so that we have peace for today and a peace that we can share. In Jesus' name, amen.